We can all have the victory if we want it. There's a whole lot of individuals out here today, I don't believe, that wants the victory. But we have to do it God's way. If we follow the leadership of God, I believe He can give us all victory. And He can all give us joy and blessings to where we will not even have room enough for Him. I want to thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for the presence. And thank the Lord for the rain we've had this past week. I think it's some of the rain that we needed. Now we got to get into some other things here at the church and try to get some other things done. But like Brother Bill said, y'all pray for the upcoming revival, which is in September the 22nd. And homecoming is the 21st of that week. And I'll let you know now that on homecoming tonight, we won't have no services tonight because we're going to have revival all next week. I mean, all the next week. So y'all just make plans for it and start inviting people. Start inviting people and telling them. My Brother Paul Sis will be here. Me and Brother Bill went out this past week and we done some visiting and went to one individual and visited them and everything. I was mentioning them some about revival and everything, and they mentioned something about it. And they asked me, said, "Have you heard anything about Paul Sisk lately?" I says, "No, I haven't." I says, "She said, well, she said, is it? You know if he's still holding revival and everything?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, he is." She says, "Well, can you let me know where he's gonna be holding the next revival?" I said, "Sure can." I said, "Ain't gonna be far from where you live. It's right down the street. Come on." She says, "When's it gonna be?" I said, "The 22nd of September." She says, "I'll be there." Well, she talks to me, maybe every night, but that's all right. But I think they may be looking for a place where they can come in and worship the Lord and serve Him. And I pray that this will be the place. But if not, we're just praying that people will get in the house of God and just sell out to Him. That's what we need to do. We just need to sell out to Him, sell out our heart, our mind, our soul to Him, and allow Him to do the work within us and through us. And then we don't have to worry about the things that we're going to have to face the next day or the next week, that He's going to already faced them for us, and everything's going to be okay. And I know that sometimes troubles do come our way, and we wonder why troubles come our way. Well, I always go back to the word. It's a five-letter word. And in that five-letter word, each one of us is mentioned in the middle of that five-letter word. And that five-letter word is faith. Is in the middle of that word, faith. And that's what He wants us to do. So anytime a trial comes your way or something that you don't understand or something I don't understand, you need to remember that what He's doing, He's testing our faith. We need to have a little more faith in Him. And we're discussing in Sunday school class this morning, and the Sunday school lesson was based around all of that, but it's easy to say something to someone else until it hits home. When it hits home, it's, you know, then you have to deal with it yourself. It's kind of hard. Just like my wife said this morning, she says, it's easy to preach it. But then when it happens to you, it ain't so easy. And that's true. So, but this morning, if you will, turn to the book of Zebediah, chapter 3. The book of Zebediah, chapter 3. That's in the Old Testament, right before Haggai. And Haggai is right before Zechariah. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 961. And y'all just pray for me this morning, because I don't remember when it was the time that I preached on this, on this message. But even though the title of the message, I know I've spoke on the title plenty of time and everything, but we're going to start in verse 11. Let's back up to verse 10 then. Zebediah chapter 3 and verse 11. If any of you don't have your place, just let me know. All right. Zebediah. Chapter 3 and verse 10. From beyond the river of Euphrates, my supplement, even the daughter of my despair, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not be iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in thy mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Verse 14 says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away thy judgment. He has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflicts thee, and I will save her thou haltest, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you this morning that we was able to be able to get up this morning and be able to get dressed and be able to be in thy house. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the individuals that is here this morning. Father, my heart believes that the ones that are here this morning want to hear something from heaven. Want to hear a special message, Father. And Lord Jesus, I pray today, Father, that where you have the message for this hour, Lord, that you may allow the words to drop from your lips unto my lips, Father, that it may speak the very words that you would have me to speak. And Father, where we can all say it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and Father, we can give you thanks, praise, and glory because you are God. And for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us, we do thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I reckon if I was going to put a title to it, it would be The Blessings of the Lord, which I reckon we could probably title any message or any scripture we read in the Bible speaks about. And it always goes back to the point of the blessings that come from the Lord. And we see right here where the blessings here has been promised are, of course, for Israel. The Lord God Almighty, He promised Israel many, many, many years ago that He would be with His people. He told Abraham in the book of Genesis that you are my chosen people. No one will harm you. And that's what they've been trying to do there for years. They've been trying to do away with Israel. Because even the people around the world, they didn't say it this past week, and the people, not the governments of each of the nations, but the people that knows anything at all about Israel and what Israel means and how God has protected Israel. They know that the United States is not the country of all power. It's not a powerful nation that it is. Yes, they will still say it up in Washington, D.C., that the United States of America is the most powerful nation that there is. Russia will say the same thing. And all the others will say the same thing. But there's not but one nation that has more power than the United States and Russia, Ukraine, all the other countries around the world can muster up. And that is that little nation there called Israel. They have the more power than anybody else ever has. And the reason I thought about these verses of scripture right here and thought about Israel also is because of what the Congress and what the President of the United States said this past weekend. They was talking about where they have backed away on the weapons and everything, and they are depleting the armed forces that we have. And they said even depleting what armed forces we have, still the United States is the greatest nation that there is. And still the United States of America is the most powerful country that there is. But they are wrong there.
Israel is the most powerful country that there is. Why? Because they have one leader that they look to, and they look to God the Father than heaven. And they believe that, and they trust Him in what they do. And we was talking, me and Charlie was talking this morning, and we was talking this morning about over in Israel this morning, where Israel has that dome over there, where it's protecting Israel there. And they can go out, they can go to that a dome there, and they can block any missile that there is. And there are no missiles that will come down and harm any of the people. Yes, they will come down, and they will maybe hit a town or something like that. But the people, no one has been killed in this conflict that Israel is having today with Hamas and all the other people there. There's more than just Hamas there in that war. I believe you got Iran. I believe you got Iraq there. I believe you got other countries there with them and funding them. But even with all of that in mind, even the United States of America does not have that golden dome. The way that golden dome was put there for a reason. Why? It was put there to protect Israel. It was to protect the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are all around the world. They're still flocking to that country. They're still going back home. They're still going back to the homeland, Israel. But no one will ever harm Israel. The only way anybody will ever harm Israel is if God's going to have to just open up His hand. Now, if Israel turned it back away from God and allowed some of the things that's going on here, the United States of America, yes, God will just take away His hands from them. But I don't believe Israel's going to do that, because Israel was a chosen people. Israel was a chosen nation. And since 1948, when it become a state, when it become a nation once again, there, then we can see that over in Matthew chapter 24 is talking about the fig tree. The fig tree has bloomed. It's blooming today. Why has it blooming? Because the Jewish people are flocking back to Israel. That is the bloom. That is where Israel is. They're growing. Why? Because the people are going back to Israel. Now, have you ever seen a Jewish individual where they didn't have a little extra money? They own this and they own that. And they can touch this and they can touch that, and it'll turn into gold or turn into money. Why? They are God's chosen people. But then after that, even after Israel and the Jewish people was God's own chosen people there, we can see what God has done. What God has done because of what Israel done. Israel, years and years ago, they didn't want to serve God. They wanted to serve Baal. And they wanted to serve all these gods out here that they had. And God took His hand off of Israel. You had there between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, you have 400 years of complete silence. Where they didn't hear anything at all from God. Now I want to ask you this morning, how would we feel if God just took His hands off of us and did not speak to us when we go to Him in prayer or when we talk to Him And God just would not speak to us for 30 days. 24 hours a day for 30 days. It would be miserable. It would be miserable. I believe an individual that has ever accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior and is not in the house of God and not serving God and not doing what God has asked him to do and they still doing what they want to do, I believe down deep in the heart and deep down in the soul, they've got to be the most miserable people I know of. Because they know they're not doing what they need to be doing. We need to be here. We need to serve God. And where are we going to serve God? We need to come in here in the church house and we need to thank God. I come here this morning just thanking God for being with me this past week. I thank God for being with me when I went to the doctors this week. I just thank God for me, all His blessings He's bestowed on me this past week. Why? Because I come to the house of God, and I can come to the house of God, and I can praise His name and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I mean, we need to praise Him. How many can stand up this morning and praise the Lord? I mean, that's what we need to do. We don't need to just sit there anymore. We're having too many people just setting aside. Man, just, they don't want to. I don't know what it is. I don't know if people just don't think God has blessed them enough or what. But if God has never done anything else for you except for you to allow you to be able to get up out of bed this morning, then that right there is enough for you to praise Him and give Him thanks for. And I know that every one of you here, and I believe this with my heart and my soul, if you had young children, if you had teenagers out here, and if they went to the play a softball or baseball on Saturday, and if your young son there hit a home run, you're going to sit back on him. Then, says, go on, Johnny. Watch it, baby. No. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be up on your feet. You'd be hollering. Everybody in the stands, everybody in the county would probably hear your voice and knowing exactly what your son's name is. Why? Because you would not stand there and you would not just sit there and allow something like that to go on and where you won't give Him praise, because that is our children and we need to worship. We are His children. I'm God's child. God's my papa. God's my daddy. He's all I want. Just like that little girl that was in Vacation Bible School there. And she was they had a memory verse they had to remember and everything. And she was about 6, 7, 8 years old, something like that. Said, come Friday night, each class had to stand up before the church and had to do what they had practiced all week and what they had been learned all week and everything. And all of them would have a memory verse to remember where they could quote it to the people. They all done good and everything. And there's one little girl there. She's 6, 7, 8 years old. And the teacher was kind of worried about her because she could start out the verse, but she could never finish it. And she really didn't know how she'd do it. So the teacher called up and
told her where to stand. Stand right in the middle. And the teacher was sitting on the front row, kind of helping everything. And she says, "Now it's time for you to quote your verse." She says, "Psalms 23, verse 1. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." They said the people just got up and started clapping. Because what she said was true. That's all she wanted. That's all she needed was the Lord. That's what we all need today. We all need the Lord in everyday life. He has done so much for me that I can't thank Him enough. He really has. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed each one of you. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life." I may not know, but God does. God does. Something this week I learned a hard lesson this week. It's easy for me to get up here and say one thing and then for me to do it. But I'll tell you, when you realize it hits home to you, then it's time for you to do something. And I've said all along, and I've tried my very best to do it, and I've said all along that the Lord will not answer our prayers as long as we pick them back up and tote them and carry them with us through the rest of the day or through next week. The only way that God will answer our prayers, we must bring them to the altar. We must bring them and leave them there at the altar where He has complete control over the circumstance that is in our life. Because see, if we just keep a hold of it, we keep dragging it with us a little bit, God can't do a whole lot with it. But we're going to be pulling away from God. Because see, God wants an answer. Not today. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. But when do we want it answered? Now. Right now. Some of us even say, "Well, you should have answered it yesterday. You knew all about it. You should have answered it yesterday before it ever come about." But thanks be to God, He does answer prayer. He does answer prayer. What He will do for us. First of all, I believe and I know that He wants to save people. He don't want nobody to die and go to hell.
That was not his intentions at all when he first come on the scene. Says in the beginning he created what? The heaven and the earth. He didn't create hell. He created heaven and the earth. But see, then you know the story there about Lucifer. How he said, "Well, I believe I can do a better job than God." Same way today. We as people think, "Well, we can do that. We can do it right. I think we can do it." We done messed up already before he was started. Because we done said to God, said, "God, you can't do it, man. We'll say, God, you can't do it, so I'm going to have to do it for you." Then we're going to really mess it up. That's when we mess up things. We must of all accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And when we do, we must ask Him not only to save our soul, but we must ask Him to be the Lord of our life. Because when He becomes the Lord of our life, then that's when it becomes personal. That's when that you want to go and you want to do everything you can to please Him and please Him only. You're not there to please yourself. You're not there to please your wife. You're not there to please nobody else. Nobody but the Lord. And you know, I don't know where some of the people get it from or wherever. I reckon they get it from separating the Old Testament and the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it tells us that God must be number one. We cannot put no other individual before God. We can't put nothing before God. If we do, it's an idol. What's an idol? Idol can be our cause. Idols can be our home. Idols can be the workplace. But God needs to be number one. And if we put these three things that God has ordained in place, in the rightful place, we don't have to worry about none of them. God is number one. Don't put nothing else before you do God. And in the book of Genesis, God created the family. Created Adam and Eve. And that, you say, "Well, what about all of these others? Adam, Woman, Eve." That was the case, then God misspelled Eve. It was not Steve, it was Eve. I quit. He's number one, the family. A family is number two. Then, the church. You say, "Well, preacher, I thought, you know, we put the church before you did the family." Nope. Nope. Not according to God's word, you can't. We need to put it in that order. If we put it in that order, we'll say, "God, here, you are number one in my life.
And number two in my life is my family. And number three is my church. You'll put them in order. You ain't gonna never have to worry about your family. You ain't gonna never have to worry about if God's number one in your life. And you ain't gotta worry about ever putting your church way, way, way down. They're gonna still stay one, two, and three. God, family, church. One, two, three. We're the only people, and God has blessed the United States. He really has. And I'll still say, even with everything that's wrong with the United States of America, and it's a whole lot that's wrong, I still say it's the greatest country that there is right now. Still is. And I'm not going to say it's going to be like that all the time, because I got a feeling. United States of America, we haven't seen no hard times yet. Judgment is coming on America. Because I don't look for God to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't look for him to go back and apologize to them. Sin is sin. Sin is not whitewashed. Sin is not spelt any other way. But sin is S-I. I have sinned against God. It's talking about I, me, myself. I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner on the way to going to heaven. And I'm trying my very best to live for the Lord. And it's getting harder and harder and harder. When you go out here and you'll go and you'll visit somebody or go to some of these places of business, and then there you'll have maybe a friend or something like that come up to you and say, "Well, how are you doing? What church are you attending now?" And you'll tell them what church you're a member of, or what church are you pastor of, or whatever. And the people all around you done heard it. They know, but then you still use God's name in vain. One man continued on using God's name in vain, and then he come on up there and was talking to, and he was asking the same man that I was talking to, where could he find this in Lowe's? Because the individual I was talking to was he was a Christian. Hadn't been but by 2 years, got saved. And we was talking. Well, he needed to find something. And he come over there, and he was going to ask this one of the salesmen there, where could he find it? And he says, "Can I interrupt you for a moment? I need to find something." I said, "Sir," I said, "me and him was talking a little while ago. You heard the conversation, but you was right there at it. And I don't whisper when I talk about my Lord. And he didn't whisper either. And I love my Lord and my Savior. And here you are, you're over here damning God at every breath." Said, "Did you realize tonight be your night? You can go home." He said, "Yeah, as soon as I get off work, I'm going home." I said, "Ain't the kind of home I'm talking about, bud." I said, "Unless you get your heart right with God, unless you ask God to save your soul, come into your heart and live for you, you live for Him, you're going to die and go straight to hell." You know what he said? "I'll be down with the rest of my buddies." I said, "Well, ain't one thing about it. I can promise you this. You go get to hell.
you will never know anyone down there. You won't even be able to recognize, you won't be able to even know the one that's sitting or standing right beside him. I said, because you'll be in so much agony and so much pain. I mean, I just don't like to be around people that use God's name in vain. God's done so much for me. And I can't stand up for Him. I mean, if I can't stand up for Him just because of one individual, and I know it's a bunch of you is doing it.
And after the salesman, he told him the aisle to go down. I don't know if it's the right aisle or not. And I told his salesman, I says, I apologize. Not for what I said. I apologize in the way I said it. That's because he made me angry. And I says, I know that that's not y'all's policy. And I said, if you have to take me to the manager's, fine. I said, because my God has not done a thing to him. And he was all abusing him. And God wants to save him, even though what all he said about God, God wants to save him. God still loves him today. And his salesman told me, he said, don't worry about it. I ain't going to tell nobody about nothing. If anybody knows anything about anything, it's going to be because of what he said. And he said, if that's the case, then he will bring me and he will get me to call you and we will both go in the manager's office. And I will tell him exactly what was said. He said, because you didn't do nothing wrong. He said, as far as I'm concerned, it'd been the same thing that if your wife and your daughter was in here with you shopping,
and then somebody right around where you was at, and your wife and your daughter was there, and they was using all this vulgar language, these four-letter words, and using God's name in vain, all this and everything, and doing all that cursing in front of them, says it'd be the same thing if you went over there and just told him just to shut up until after we got out of his way. I said, I told him, I am not going to allow somebody else to talk to my wife and my daughter that way. I said, they can talk that way for me, fine. I said, I can take care of my own self. I said, but my wife and my daughter, they're not going to do it. And I'll tell you something else too. I can go further than that. They ain't gonna send them back to church. They ain't gonna say nothing to me about any of you down here at all. Because I will go to battle with you. I will fight with you. The day is ended. It's not going to be long before he comes back. Brother Bill, come on, get a song ready.
me, Lord.